You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
This is episode 783 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we dive into two inspiring conversations you won't want to miss. First, we sit down with Beth Baumer to discuss her book, How Two Minds Meet, and the mental dynamics that strengthens the rider and horse partnership. We also speak with Christina Harrelson, who shares insight from her exciting experience competing in the first ever U.S. Open for dressage, a thoughtful and inspiring episode highlighting both the mindset and the moments that shape our sport.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show.
This is Reese Koppler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Well, hi, girl. How are you today?
It's a little rough here. I'm not going to lie. It's like 2 degrees. We have like 10,000 feet of snow. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to pack.
Yeah, I know what we got, and I can only imagine you like 7 hours north of us and anybody else that's in it got this snowstorm. Yeah, welcome to winter. I was
brutal.
Like, this is not fun.
It's January weather, Reese. I am not impressed. Like last year, it didn't snow until I left, and that was perfect. So when do you head out?
We are leaving mid-December.
I think
so.
That's-
You know, I'm not going to lie. I was driving home from a meeting downtown and I was kind of in a meeting at the ag college at the university here. And I was sitting inside and I was like, it's not bad when you look at it from a beautiful boardroom. And I was sitting drinking coffee. I was like, okay, this isn't bad. And then driving home, it was really beautiful. And I was like, oh, look at the Christmas lights. This is so pretty. And then I opened the door and I was like, what's the heck? So, I don't know how you are, Megan, but when I pack up the farm, like I am super weird. Like I go, I don't know why I do this, but I am compelled because my sister's also moving. And so I've been helping her pack. So it's only helped me where I like go through all my cupboards and all my clothes. Like, I don't know why I do this. And it's really weird. Like, I'm not telling people that it's the right thing to do, but yeah. So I like donate a bunch of stuff. Like I get really motivated. So I do, thankfully, I have a very good assistant in the barn and she does all the barn stuff when it's cold and freezing. But I really, she's like, you really are working in there.
I'm
like,
yeah,
I really am working.
Yeah. It takes me a whole month to pack.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
And
me too. And I don't like to know that my home, my house here, my little apartment, I don't live in a big house, but my little apartment, I don't like to know that it's not organized, if that makes sense. So it just helps me. So I like clean everything and I do my spring cleaning in November and December.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's really smart to do. I've been doing it in the barn, like with tack and blankets, which isn't normal for me. But yeah, I just have a lot of anxiety about this trip for some reason. I don't know what is going on. Like,
well,
I feel like I'm a month behind and I'm not.
No. I mean, last year was not the best year for you in California. So I can imagine you have a little anxiety. I mean, the fires, if you're new to our program, welcome. And Megan was in anybody that's listening in California, like y'all, your winter was something else.
It was brutal. But this year is going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to training and I can't wait for education. And it's just such a rejuvenating time. Don't you feel that way about Florida?
100%. Yes. I feel like it is absolutely rejuvenating. It is so fun to get started. You know, I'm already like, you know, we already have things booked. It's great. And I can't wait to see sort of my whole community down there. I think, you know, but I will encourage people. A lot of the things now that happen in Florida are done via Zoom as well. So keep an eye on that. Like, I hate to, especially now after being here in winter for a day, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, But then I think of like all the cool opportunities that are via Zoom. You know, Clip My Horse is an amazing app too. I'm not gonna lie, we have it like on the TV all the time down there. Like in the evening, we just like come in and like make dinner and watch Clip My Horse. I mean, it's so fun. So, and a lot of things are via Zoom. So keep an eye on that stuff. Like it's coming along.
And I love that.
This show is gonna come out when you and I are hanging out together. Like,
yeah.
I know, I'm so excited. So we are, so this show will come out on Saturday. We're recording on a Tuesday, and it's USTF convention here in Lexington.
I'm so excited, Reese.
It is exciting. I'm not gonna lie. I like love it and hate it. I mean, it's nice to be able to come home and like snuggle with my dog at night. My husband's out of town, so it doesn't matter. He and I always have conventions at the same week. So it's just my dog and I, and Megan is going to come hang out with me here at the house. And Megan, can we tell our secret?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to Andrea Bocelli. We are so excited.
I'm so excited.
Megan and I. Okay. So we're going to cheer. We're probably going to show up at the gala at cocktail hour. Cheers, everyone. And then when everybody goes in to get their awards, we're going to go upstairs and watch a concert.
Yes,
it's gonna be so fun.
I've been wanting to see him for 2 years. I'm so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I know. You and I talked about it, and we're like, you know what? We're actually gonna do something not horsey together, which we always do horsey stuff together, which we love. But we're gonna go to a concert and just enjoy kind of hanging out and listening to some beautiful music. My grandmother was a huge opera fan, so I just love opera. I probably should study more and that kind of stuff, but I'm really looking forward to it. So we're going to have a really fun trip while you're here.
And we have the book club.
Yes. So if you're going to be at convention or anytime, please come and say hi to us. We love it when everybody checks out, you know, says, hey, and says, you know, comes and talks to us in person. Like, it's so much fun to meet our listeners. So we're hoping we'll meet our book club. We, though, have a special treat for everybody today. Beth Baumert is on our show to talk about her book, which we're thrilled about. It's fun for us because we get a dry run before we actually do it in person on Saturday. But I hope we're really going to enjoy. So that's coming up on the show. But it is a tradition around here to talk about some gifts for the holidays, isn't it, Megan?
Yeah.
Second holiday season.
I need some gifts.
Yes. Yes. I love this. Okay. So we have some ideas for everybody. So I don't know about you, but I love it when people give me grooming supplies. I love it. Like the really fancy stuff that you like don't buy yourself. You don't buy at the dollar store, which I frequent the dollar store for all my horse stuff. So I love, but I, you know, there's some really, really special things now that are out there. Any Ethel products, you know, and again, this is just us, but I love that stuff. Hair, the oils, the detanglers. Oh, any of your horse friends will love that, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I have a terrible time pronouncing it, so I'm gonna just kill it anyway. I think it's Epona Silk Grooming Supplies. They have a brush I bought myself last year from Mary's Tack in California. Amazing! It actually detangles the mane and tail. Love, 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 love it.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love all that stuff. I mean, the girls can always tell when I groom them because they're sticky. They're like, Reese was here. They're sticky. I like all the stuff. If I had glitter paint, I would put it on there. I mean, when my niece was little and we could glitter their hooves.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was so much fun.
That's such a curmudgeon.
Yeah, it's true. And then, you know, I always feel like a bag of treats is very sweet. I like bags of treats. You know, I'm telling you, I'm like a horse girl. Like, I'm like a kid. Me and the Pony Club kiddos, I'm one with them.
So much. You're like Santa Claus and I'm like the Grinch.
I love Christmas. I love it. I love it so much. I love it. Yeah, no, I'm so not the Grinch. I'm like the anti-Grinch. I love Christmas. I love it.
What about boots and polo wraps?
A matching set? Oh, stop it. I just can't. I mean, any matching set. I had a friend give me a matching set last year for Christmas. And oh my God, I like wear that thing. I mean, Rocky's dressing that all the time now. I just love it. I like him matching. He looks so cute.
AJ got a brown saddle pad, and that's all I ever wanted to see him in. And then he got a navy blue one. I'm like, oh my God, this is the best with the
rack. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. And we just had like Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I mean, but there are sales going on all the time now, people. And I am telling you what, like, I mean, your trainer will love that. I don't know about you, Megan, but like, I don't buy that stuff for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything that's like white and navy.
Yep.
Like, you know, so if somebody like buys me something special, like, it's so nice. And trainers really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And what about a warm blanket for the winter?
Yep. I'm not going to lie, for horses and people.
A heated blanket.
I mean, a weighted blanket for me that heats up. Oh, say less. I'm already asleep under it.
No, I love the heated apparel. Like Aurora, do you have heated?
Water? Oh my God. Yes. I'm on full red. You should have seen me today. I was like glowing red. I actually was trotting and I had to like stop and go a couple layers deep to turn it off my heated vest. I was dying. I was like, oh boy.
That was really that.
So any heated anything. I mean, they have heated socks and heated scarves. I like a heated scarf too. I'm not going to lie.
Did you get it? I've been thinking about getting it. I got the heated seat.
Oh, stop it. I mean, anything heated. I mean, I'm not really here long enough to really warrant all the heated, but yeah, if I was, say less. I mean, I would be like full on glowing. But yes, I think anything heated for anybody or, you know, and I, my girls, they were so cute. I took the cutest picture of my little assistant today. She's not little. She's, you know, she's a grown up person, but she's so cute. And I was like, smile, you look so cute in the snow. And she did. She smiled and she's got the kindest smile. And so shout out to Carly and all the workers in the snow today. Like, I mean, I was working too. I just was taking the picture from the indoor. She was awesome. she had just given me another horse. I'm like, smile, you guys look so cute. So, but yeah, heated anything I think is great. And then I don't know about you, but I like anything with my horse's name on it, like a stall front bag or, you know, again, trainers don't typically buy this stuff for ourselves. So if somebody like thinks about me and my horse, like, oh, it's so sweet. Again, I'm like a horse girl at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. I love that. And I love it with the little decorations. I do feel like people pick better. They're more stylish than I am and they have a good eye.
Yeah.
So I love it. With little signs. I put signs all around my barn. Just like, you know, to boost your spirits up, you know, when you look at them. It's so fun.
You're the best. That is so cool.
I love that.
No, I hear you. I mean, I love it. I just like signs with my horse's name on it or that kind of stuff. Again, like stuff that I'm not going to spend money on.
Yeah, exactly.
But
what about a med kit for horse and human? I think this is a great idea. Because
yes.
How often do we need to restock it? I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I need to restock mine. This is a great idea.
Well, you know, again, in my throwing or, you know, donating and kind of like looking at stuff, it's amazing how quickly that stuff goes bad. Or you're like, oh, I have a med kit. And then you're like, oh, I bought it in 1995. You know, like, oops. You know, like, oh. So yeah, I think it is important. And like, just an update. Like if you came, oh my gosh, if somebody came to me with an updated med kit, I would hug them for an hour. I'd be so happy. You know what I mean? Because it, again, is not stuff that your barn is thinking about, but you're like, we really need an updated med kit. Thank you so much for doing that.
We do.
That's awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know about you, but she may hear this on the podcast before I give her the money, but I am going to send my friend in Europe who takes care of my, he's now a yearling. I'm going to send her a lesson. I'm going to send her some money for a lesson with her trainer. Because I know she really loves her lessons. She's told me about them multiple times. And I'm so grateful for all the work she did with my baby horse this year.
Yeah.
That I'm going to send her that. I just send her some money for her, for a lesson. And that is so nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
To do, like, I know, or like, hey, I'll help pay for a clinic or something. I know that sounds silly, but trainers really forget or don't, you know, training's expensive, right? And so I think
exactly.
That's really nice to do.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful gift. The other thing I was thinking of is like for my staff, We've received gift cards for gas.
Love it.
As well as massages. That's amazing. And I think my clients that have given my barn staff those gifts, I think they're amazing gifts.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love it. I'm not going to tell you yet what I'm doing for the barn, because I'm really excited though. I think you know this about me, Megan, but I do like to do some crafting in my spare time, which is very minimal. But I do like to do some stuff every once in a while. And so I'm very proud of my gift that I did this year. So I do try to give my staff and my clients kind of a cool gift that I made. So sometimes I made vanilla extract 1 year.
Oh, no way.
It just... It's really not that hard, actually, but it was super fun. And so I like to kind of come up with crafty gifts.
I love that. That's so thoughtful. You know what I miss? I used to have a party every year before COVID, and it was the White Elephant Party.
Yes.
And I would buy all the gifts for my clients. And it was fun to see who stole, who didn't. And one year, the vegetarian got the raccoon hat, and it was
funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious to watch her open it, and then it went flying.
That's so funny.
And it wasn't real, just so everybody knows. It was fake fur, but when she opened it, she thought it was. So it was really fun. So having party was a lot of fun.
I love it. We do a lunch, actually.
Yeah.
We do one every year, and it's potluck. I usually make chili, or this year I have some vegetarians, so I'm going to do broccoli cheddar soup. And we just do a fun little lunch here. And I think it's really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful, Reese.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
I know. Well, you're going to be here. And we will definitely post pictures of us on our adventure. Mm-hmm. But I hope that kind of inspires everybody, a little gift to give to your trainer and to, of course, Megan and I are trainers, so we encourage, but, you know, some of your barn mates. But I do. I also love matchy stuff for barns. I think it's really fun to see everybody cute and matchy. So, but I hope you guys have a great holiday season. We have two holiday shows, so we had to talk about that. But we're really excited to send us some pics or some good ideas. We always love to hear that from everybody. Well, we have a great show today, right after this break, from Kentucky Performance Products.
Does your performance horse have sore, stiff muscles? Does he lack energy or tire quickly during exercise? Does his competition schedule require travel? Studies show that these horses, in regular training and those with limited access to pasture, often require additional vitamin E. They also show that horses being trailered even short distances can face immunity challenges. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight we are so excited to have our bonus book club author, Beth Baumert. She is the author of How Two Minds Meet, The Mental Dynamics of Dressage. She's also been a friend and a mentor to my sister and I for many years. Beth, welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
We are thrilled. We were reminiscing. You and I did this interview with Philip, but it was 10 years ago. So we were thrilled to be able to bring you back on for convention. We're going to be doing this live at convention. So this is a fun kind of get back into it in a good start for us. So thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, I always love talking about this.
I know. So what inspired you to write? Well, you have two books, but what inspired you to write How Two Minds Meet?
Kathy Connolly once said to me many, many years ago, you know, one day people will become so skilled at riding physically that winners will be determined by the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And yeah. Beautiful.
And I think it's true.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And It was, I just have to tell you this little story. I was teaching a lesson to my assistant and we're working on technique. And I'm trying to get her to become her own self, right? And I came in and read your book, or well, started to read your book. And the first chapter was everything I was trying to tell her. So I want to thank you so much for writing this book, and especially for me reading it at this moment in time. And why do you think the mental dynamics between horse and rider are less discussed than biomechanics? And what gap were you hoping to fill?
Well, I think there are a couple of answers to this question. I think it honestly comes second. I think the mechanics of it come first, because mm-hmm. you can't even begin to have a meeting of the minds if your horse is out of balance. Mm-hmm. And I think that the rider's physical aids, kind of, I think of it as putting them in kind of a box within which they can be supple and balanced. And some of that was that physical stuff was revisited in this book, because it has to be. So I think the mind comes second. And also, it's harder to talk about. It's hard to rationalize magic or ESP or wonder or the power of intention. There are rational studies that have been done about muscle memory or mental practice, but in general, it's harder to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And Beth, what are some, I mean, again, like you said, it's hard to talk about, but what are some exercises that you recommend to riders to kind of sharpen that ability so that they can understand what that means or feels like, or that sensation?
Sharpen their ability to listen, or sharpen what?
Yeah, sharpen their ability to listen to their horse and kind of understand what meeting of the minds means.
Well, I think conversation with horses is two-way, and it's a lot easier. I don't know about an exercise, but it's easier to do in walk because it's slow. Mm. So start in walk and think of it as a conversation. You say, let's do this. And the very next step, they say, okay. Or maybe they misunderstand and they don't say okay. But that's the moment you have to listen and respond, either by repeating the request or softening and saying yes. The listening moment is silent. Mm-hmm. And that silent moment is easier to find in walk. And then I think, just say, if you want an exercise, say, I'm leg yielding in walk from the quarter line, from the corner letter rather, to X. And then I'm going to do a turn on the forehand and I'm going to leg yield back to the corner letter. If you're doing that in walk, you get to feel the rhythm of the conversation.
Yeah.
Then once you have that rhythm, it's a lot easier to reproduce it in trot and canter. But I think it's easier to find it in walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have trained together a lot. We both, Jen, your daughter, and I were at Conrad Schumacher's, and he does a lot of walk. And that is one thing that, you know, we were trained young to do. And I see people get on horses and they just start going. And to me, I need that walk time. And it's like you said, it is exercises. It's not just walking around on a loose rein, talking on your phone. I mean, it is, you're focused and you're starting to, I agree. If you can't get it in the walk, you need to take that time there. Right. And I think I see so many people rush through that stage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what can be done in the walk. I'm reminded when you mentioned Schumacher one time. Oh, now I'm going to embarrass myself because I need to the name of the man who was like 95 years old, who lived next door. And he was a Grand Prix rider, and he got on the horse, and oh my God, he was so frail, and he just walked. And then when he got off, somebody else got in and did the Grand Prix.
No way.
Like, it was so impressive.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wow. That's amazing. I want to go back to like being an instructor. I'm an instructor of many students, and I find they really struggle with nerves, being a perfectionist, and their self-doubt. How do these mental states interfere with the communication with our horses?
Yeah, it's kind of like static, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
You can't mm-hmm. conversation. And it doesn't matter whether it's your nerves or your horses, but there's sort of different answers. Nerves and fear. I always think you have to have a plan and execute it. Task-oriented riding. Because if you're nervous or fearful, it's so easy to get lost in the moment and just trying to and being reactive. But a specific exercise, take the leg yield, right? One to the center line to X and turn on the forehand and back again. A task, you have a task. Do the task, have a plan, execute it. Now, self-doubt is a little bit different. That's like worry. It's super damaging, isn't it? I like to tell the story of when Jen went to college. She brought her horse, and we were in the habit of helping one another every day. And so she went off for 2 months. I didn't see her. And then when I visited her, the horse was going fabulously.
Mm.
And I thought, well, boy, I guess I'm not needed. I said, how did you do this? And she said, well, I just assumed I was right.
Oh, I love that.
And I thought, if I'm not right, somebody will tell me somewhere along the line. But for now, I'm going to just assume I'm right. And that is super powerful. That is a leader that we're talking about. Horses are really herd animals. They want to be led. They want to be led by somebody who knows what the heck they're doing. And maybe you have to fake it till you make it. But
yeah,
she assumed she was right. And boy, it certainly paid off.
Wow. Now,
you
That's
also
a great story. And I think you're right. You talk about being the leader, right? And I think that's, you know, how can riders kind of adapt that thought of becoming a leader? Like you said, Jen just was like, I'm the leader. Is that an exercise you would say to riders? Like, just believe it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, we've all seen riders who are really less skilled,
mm-hmm.
better leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Also mentioned perfectionism, which was my personal downfall. I like to tell a story about how Lyndon and I often taught the same riders. And she and I were a good mix because she would say, shoulder in. Okay, just do it. Just do it. She said, just do it long before Nike did. And then the rider would come to me and I'd say, don't do it. You don't have all your ducks in a row, right? If you can't, you know, let's work on the 10-meter circle and make that perfect and then do a shoulder in, all right? So I was the perfectionist. And if I had to choose, both philosophies are good. The combination is the best. If I had to choose one, I would take Lyndon's because... And she would, I shouldn't say this, but she would sometimes say, you know, I don't care if it's ugly for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of Hank van Bergen, who, an old Dutch trainer who was fabulous. He's very much German, but by birth, he's Dutch. He would say that, you know, you can't make it to Grand Prix without at some point rocking the boat.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Jennifer reminded me of this the other day. You will, quote, die in beauty.
I like that. I'm writing that.
Yeah.
You will die in beauty, he says, you know. So this is a plug to not be a perfectionist. To, if you have to choose one philosophy or the other, I'd choose Lenden's.
Yeah.
Mine is really not a bad philosophy. I'll tell you another story. Lenden was teaching me one time, and she said at one point, Piaf. And I mentally freaked out because I'm like, I don't have all my ducks in a row. Uh-huh. And, but you know, when Lenden asks you to do something, you just do it. So I just did it. And guess what? The qualities that I had been missing, those ducks, got in a row when
yeah.
I. So that's the plus side of doing it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Is he gave it to me on a silver platter because he wasn't used to doing it any other way other than the right way. So both philosophies are good. If I had to choose one, I'd take Lenden's. With regard to perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. And switching gears, thinking about the horse's mindset, how do you recommend riders assess their horse's mental state during the work?
Well, I think, does the horse in a challenging situation turn to you, or is his tendency to run?
Mm.
So getting him to turn to you in a pinch is a wonderful long-term goal, but you can't achieve that kind of trust overnight. But in terms of long-term training that, if you balance your horse constantly, he likes that and he will trust you. I mean, everyone's had that experience of trying to do shoulder four. And you just, it's very, very difficult. It's simple in theory, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And people trying to get shoulder four sometimes, you know, going into the mirror, they look like they're drunk. But
yeah, they do.
Once, yep. I've done it too, though.
Yeah. Once the, yes. He meets you halfway because he likes that. He likes being balanced. He doesn't like to be unbalanced, right?
No. Yeah, exactly. And it makes total sense, right? And of course, the horse, kind of even going back to the leadership, they want the leadership.
Right.
Which I think is so important.
Right. I think that leadership, again, is the herd mentality. What is the basic conflict of interest? Because the horse wants to feel free. That's basically what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And the rider needs control, really needs control. So as a leader, if you learn to make the horse feel free and look free, but you're in control, then you've got your cake and eating it too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you talk about consistency. You know, what role does the consistency play in that?
That's pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a German word called consequent. And it has a lot deeper meaning to them than it does to us. That you can do something extremely specific and you'll get an extremely specific response. Most riders don't have that degree of consistency and feeling of consequence. They use it as like a rider should be consequent.
Yes.
Adjective.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you think about that and you ride like that, it changes it. And you go into that more on how the importance of that word, but the importance of being consequent and consistent and how important that is for your horses. And yeah. I mean, I think we strive for that every day, you know, like
I think a lot of
going
people
sideways, like hard to be consistent and consequent, but it's necessary, right?
Yeah. Lots of people who doubt themselves will by mistake, though, if the horse misunderstands, they'll change the question.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the horse will not understand if the question changes.
And that's, in theory, the worst thing you can do, right, is you need to keep asking the question until you get the response you need.
Yeah, yeah.
But, cool. Beth, I mean, the book is, we could keep you on here for hours because there's so much great information in the book. Well, Beth, it has been so fun to have you. We're looking forward to our meeting at convention and talking about our bonus book club book. How can our listeners find you and the book online?
Well, Horse and Rider Books or Amazon.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Heavy new blankets, bulky coolers, tubs of supplements, even prescription items. No problem. At Chewy, every order over $49 ships free, so you can stock up on everything your horse needs for winter without the heavy lifting. Order online or in the app, and let Chewy deliver right to your barn. Fast, free, and hassle-free, so you can spend more time enjoying winter rides with your horse. Start shopping now at chewy.com/equine.
Well, Megan, I really have a Chewy problem. I'm not going to lie. I am so thankful because one of the things I did on Black Friday was stock up on the sales. Should have seen the bot. Travis just walked by and shook his head. But one things I like to do is stock up on my cat food and litter and all those things. And it is so helpful. I used to have to, back in the day, I would have to go somewhere like Walmart and I look like the crazy cat lady. So now I can just have my cat lady problem and Chewy makes it so easy. So I'm so thankful for them. Well, now we're going to get into a great conversation with Christina Entel. Well, tonight we are so excited to have Christina Entel. She just rode in the U.S. Dressage Open, the first one. She is a USET member and a USTF gold medalist. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege to be here.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. I was really nervous, so I'm really excited you're here.
No, seriously. Well, it's been a
good... I have looked up to the way you ride for many, many years, so it's an honor as well. So, Christina, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a high-performance dressage rider, trainer, coach. I have my business based out of the Paddock Riding Club in Los Angeles, California. And I've trained all my horses from the ground up to Grand Prix. And I'm really proud of that. And I also really try hard to buy my horses here in the United States. That's actually a big passion of mine, is supporting the U.S. breeders.
Oh, I love that. Tell us about your current horse that you competed in the U.S. Open.
Finley. Finley is a 15-year-old Dutch warm blood gelding that I bought on a buying trip. And when he came into quarantine, it turned out it was a different horse that I had bought. I actually had never seen the horse.
Wow.
And I, you know, when I bought him, I saw a gray horse and it was not started yet. And I thought, oh, that's a nice horse. And everywhere I went, when I came home, everyone said, did you see Bert's gray horse? Have you seen Bert's gray horse? So I called Bert and I said, I guess I want the gray horse. And he thought I was talking about a different gray horse. So I got a horse I had never seen before, but it ended up being a good thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's really awesome. And so how long have you had Finley?
I've had him since he was 3 years old, and he had probably like 10 rides on him.
Wow. And what has been the hardest thing for you to teach?
He's terrified of other horses.
Oh.
When it came out of quarantine, Bert said, oh, by the way, he's scared of other horses.
Oh, come on. You're like,
well,
thanks.
I thought I was buying a different horse.
I didn't think I was buying this one.
Unfolded. But I have to say, that's been the hardest thing about him, is being able to warm up and having him feel confident and not being flustered. So that's definitely something that I was so proud of him at the U.S. Open. he was brave the entire time and he didn't have any moments where he wasn't clear on what his job was to do.
That's amazing, because that venue, I mean, it's amazing there, but it is so busy. Like, there are so many horses. At the time of the U.S. Open, were the other rings, were there other shows going on?
Yes, absolutely. He has a bodyguard that goes up with him to the arena. And as long as you have someone in between him and the horse, I have no problem getting up there or back. And he's very brave next to a human. And that's that venue for him. It has so much space. He loves the atmosphere. He actually loves the crowd and he can handle that. And he's actually the most unflappable horse I've ever had, except for his one fear, and that is other horses.
Wow. So tell us about the bodyguard. Like, I think this is interesting because this happens sometimes with people. Like, I have a horse that I train and, you know, he wears the red bonnet, like, you know, the red bow on his mm-hmm. forehead, like the jumpers, because, you know, he's fine and then he's not fine. He really panics. And, you know, people, I think he's really confident, but he's really not. So how do you handle that? Tell us a little bit more about the bodyguard. Like, I'm interested for myself.
I actually have someone, when I say lead me up, I don't have to be attached to anything. Sometimes I am if I think it's going to be really congested. But as long as there's a human, he's fine. He's very confident. And also, I do a lot of positioning. I know I've figured out how to just flex them gently this way or that way, or even have, I'll leg yield or half pass and just keep them busy, but giving them space. I'm always positioning. I can't actually ever like drop the reins when there's horses nearby. Not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's even scared in a stall. When a horse walks by, he will always hear it and step to the back. It's very ingrained. Oh. So, and I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he,
poor, you
know,
guy.
Mom, or if he got run into. I have no idea.
Oh, that's really sad. But now I want to hear what it was like competing at the U.S. Open.
Yes. Tell us more, because didn't it rain? Like, it never rains in California? Or, you know, tell us all the things, because I've never been to that venue, guys. So tell me a little bit more about it.
I think it's the most fabulous venue we have in the United States. It is my favorite place to show by far. Everything from the sunrises and the sunsets to the long walk up to the warm-up arena. All my horses love that long walk up. And by the time they get up there, they're just nice and relaxed. I have to say, it was really a dream come true. I did feel like I felt like a princess. They really went all out for us riders. It felt so special. It was, yeah, it was like being queen for a day. No, we got flag bags. And they really, like, honored us riders. It couldn't have been a better show. And that main arena is stunning to ride in.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
The pictures are stunning. Like,
yeah.
Just seeing it, I was like, oh my gosh, this venue is amazing.
No, and it has like so much atmosphere, but there's enough space that the horses can kind of take everything in. I find most of my horses really like that arena. It is electric, but I find there's enough space that they can handle it. So, you know, who doesn't like the big jumbotron? I don't know. It's what dreams are made of. It reminds you why we do it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. And what did it take to qualify? Can you kind of walk us through that process?
You had to do the Grand Prix for the freestyle at the qualifying CDIs, and it was a point system. So you got so many points for first. I think second and third were the same amount of points, if I'm not mistaken, and it went down from there. So we were third coming into it, and it was quite amazing that we got prize money for just how we qualified.
That's new.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it helps so much. It offset the expenses, and it made it really worth doing, I have to say. You know, to have some of my expenses covered, even coming into it.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
I definitely want to do it again. It is on my list to qualify.
Do you know if it's going to be an annual event?
Right now it is. So I know it's scheduled to be at Thermal again next year. I have to say, it's definitely at the top of my list. It was great.
I love that. I love that. And tell us, you also won the Dressage Foundation grant this year, right? Tell us
I did on Juilliard DG, and that's another U.S. bred horse. He's come out Grand Prix one time so far, and I'll be bringing him out again shortly. And he's really, really interesting horse. Has a really interesting technique in his Piaf passage, and a really big personality. So, and he's just coming along wonderfully. I'm super excited about him.
I love that. I love that. And the grants are so important too. I mean, I think, you know, we love to plug the Dressage Foundation, but it really does help riders. I mean, trying to fund that kind of trip is, I mean, for you, it's still in California, but to qualify, you couldn't qualify all in California, right? You also came to Wellington?
No, this year I actually stayed home and I qualify all here. So they had 16 qualifiers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Back east, and we had 5. So I think it might have been 6 if I include Devon Wood. And so I did 5 of those and I was able to qualify. But this year will be a lot harder. You know, different people have their sights set on different things with the World Equestrian Games.
Right.
So it will be a little harder to qualify. Yeah, depending on what everyone decides to do.
Yeah.
And what are your next goals for the winter and next year?
My goal is to qualify for the head-to-head and see if I can't get shortlisted.
Yeah. Yes. So the head-to-head, kind of tell our listeners, because that's also fairly new. That's just come out.
So that our national championships has been separated from all of the Grand Prix national championships, been separated from all the other national championships. So that's going to be held in May. And your top horses and riders in the Grand Prix will go compete head-to-head. You cannot make the team, they're not giving any buys. They want to see the whole group together.
Yeah.
And we'll be competing. And that does not determine the short list of who goes to Europe for the World Equestrian Games. I think they're taking 8, if I'm not mistaken. But that will definitely play a big role in it. And that is mandatory. So my goal is to qualify for that and
awesome.
See where things shake out. A girl's got a dream.
Yes. Well, and this is really cool because if you kind of don't know this, the whole cycle, a lot of times the Grand Prix National Championships being at Festival of Champions in August, a lot of the horses are actually, the top horses are in Europe. So they've changed it so that the national championships actually happens where everybody has to go. And I think that's really cool for our sport. Because a lot of times, like, you know, the top horses are in Europe, or, you know, you have younger horses or however it may work. It's actually not really a national championship when it's held there. So I think it's really cool. I'm glad they've done that.
I'm really glad it went back. That's kind of how it was in the back in the old Gladstone.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, at Gladstone. It used to happen that way. Mm-hmm.
No, and I do like the head-to-head concept. So when you see the group together, it becomes very clear to everyone who should be going and who should, like, it really does. It usually shakes out how it's supposed to.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, it's going to be such a great year just in general. I hope everybody can really take advantage of California, Wellington, wherever you are, you know, and again, we are able to watch this stuff online. That was so cool. I mean, the US Open was on ESPN. I was sitting, ladies, I was in a bar with my husband. We were watching a football game and on came Dressage.
Woo-hoo!
ESPN, an ad. That was on at midnight or something, but that's okay. I was like, Travis, we're on ESPN. It was so cool. I just was like a kid in a candy store that Dressage actually made ESPN. Just saying.
No, it is. It's quite amazing. It was very exciting to just be a part of it, I will say.
I love it. I love it. Well, we are now part of you and Finley's journey. So you may or may not want us, but we're here. And I cannot wait to watch you and watch you make this head to head. And we're going to touch base with you again because it's so fun to hear your journey and how the training's going and all of those things. So thank you so much for your time tonight. And how can our listeners find you online?
They can find me as Christina Harrison on Facebook, at KHD Dressage on Instagram, and ChristinaHarrison.com on my website.
Fantastic. Well, Christina, thank you so much. We hope you have a very happy holidays and a great beginning of the season next year.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for letting me share my story.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers?
The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, Megan, today we talked about our amazing bonus book, How Two Minds Meet, The Mental Dynamics of Dressage with Beth Baumert. So we're so looking forward to a convention this week, and we'll give everybody a rundown of convention on our next show. And don't forget, we have a book club book going, another one, and this will be in, we'll talk about and have our podcast and our webinar in January, but Begin and Begin Again by Denny Emerson. So we're really excited about that. If you're not subscribed yet, do that now. Just search Dressage Radio Show on your favorite podcast player. You can join the fun and supportive community of the Horse Radio Network auditors over on Patreon. You'll get behind-the-scenes insight, special offers, and the opportunity to participate in Horse Radio Network podcasts. Go to patreon.com/Horse Radio Network. The Dressage Radio Show Facebook page is obviously the Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on. Until the next show, talk to you soon.